Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Vegas doesn't think the Chiefs are a 3-touchdown favorite. You show them, Chiefs. Beat them by 5 touchdowns instead. Come on, this is an incredibly lopsided matchup. Like, horribly so. Now, the Bills didn't exactly look good against the Jets, so that can't be ignored.
No, we will not spend too much time this week actually breaking down the game itself with the rosters or anything like that when it comes to the Jets and the Kansas City Chiefs. And
Can you even name 5 Jets?
I mean,
Quinnen Williams,
only because of fantasy football. And Serta can
you
probably
have 5 players Serta, in fantasy no, football on the Jets?
I do not.
Gold team's trash.
Says the guy.
I told you guys, Frank Gore, baby.
Frank Gore, LaMichael Pirine, Sam Darnold, Crowder, Quinnen Williams. That's about it. Okay. That's about all I got for you. So anyway, Jets Chiefs Sunday coming up at noon, obviously. Coming up 30 minutes from now, the NBA in Kansas City. It seems like once you get number 15 tweeting about it, then everybody starts to jump on board some more. And that's exactly what happened yesterday. So we'll talk Raptors in KC 30 minutes from now. But the Chiefs just are sitting with one loss on the season, now heading into week 8. We know the one loss was to the Las Vegas Raiders, and now they get the Jets, they get the Panthers, and a bye, and then it's the Raiders again. And you start looking on the schedule and seeing what's happening in the AFC with the Pittsburgh Steelers right now, with unbeaten record and alone at the top of the AFC. Where is the next loss coming from? Does the next loss exist on the schedule? You guys can let us know from the Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line, 913-576-7610, because I think naturally if you look at the schedule, the one that has to come to mind based off of how all of a sudden the Tampa Bay Bucks are playing is a matchup at the end of November down in Tampa. It's right now a 3:25 kickoff. I hope that would be one that gets maybe flexed to Sunday Night Football if they're eligible for all of that. That seems like it'd be a big time showdown if that's the case, but it has to be the Bucks game. That has to be the one. I mean, if you're going to pinpoint another loss on the schedule.
Okay, so it's not the Jets.
Yeah. Fair.
The Panthers are sneaky 2 weeks from now because they are I think that part of this is we want to look at these things and like think about the Panthers as the team we thought they were going into the year. And the Panthers are better than that. They're better than that version of the Panthers. Like, their defense is a little bit better. Not like we thought it was going to be a complete train wreck. It's not good, but it's not as bad as we thought. Their offense is...
Yeah, Matt Rhule's done a nice job.
Capable, right? You know, they're okay. They've played tight with some good teams like the Saints. I mean, they lost to the Bears, and the Bears didn't exactly look good last night, so that's not great. But they beat the Cardinals. That's a good team. Like, they can cause enough problems, but I don't... The Chiefs are just so much better than the Panthers. I have a hard time putting that. They're not losing to the Raiders twice. So then, yeah, I'm left with what? Bucks, Dolphins, Saints, Falcons, and Chargers. I think the next loss is coming in 2022. Because I going into this season, my thought was always...
2022? Not even 2021?
Or 2021, sorry. You're skipping ahead of you. I'm now bobbing it for a minute.
I was going to say, wait a second.
2021.
Skip next year.
The reason why I was looking at the schedule that way is going into the year, the way I looked at the Chiefs was they were going to lose... I thought at least one of the games against the Ravens, Bills, Patriots, Texans, that opening part of the schedule, I'm like, they're losing one there, they're losing one against the Bucks and the Saints, and they're losing one other game I can't predict. That's why I had them as a 13-win season going into it. But now that they're through the most difficult part of the schedule, they're not losing to the Raiders or Broncos again, you can just write those off the planet. They're not losing to the Jets. So then I have to talk myself into them losing one or two games between the Panthers, Bucks, Saints, Falcons, and Chargers. Maybe the Chargers week 17 if they have things locked up. I just told you the Panthers can be problematic, and then I'm bound to the same thing. I picked them to lose one of the games between the Bucs and the Saints before the season started. I could go down that same road, but the more I've seen both of those teams, the Saints do not scare me the same way they would have coming into the year. And the Bucs are good. Like, obviously, I know the Buccaneers are a good team, but the Chiefs have played their best football against good teams. So really, it feels like the bad team might be the more likely team to get them. Like, the Panthers almost feel like a team more likely to get them right now than the Saints, because I don't think they'll fall asleep against the Saints. And while the Buccaneers are good, they did lose to the Saints earlier in the year.
Yeah, it was week one.
And their wins are against the Panthers, a team that we think is fine but not good. The Broncos, a bad team. The Chargers, who almost got them, right? Just like they almost got the Chiefs. So, like, we counted the same. They lost to that same Bears team I said isn't very good. And then the blowout against the Packers. I feel like so much of the Buccaneers, my opinion of the Buccaneers, or people's opinion of the Buccaneers based on the last 2 weeks against the Packers and against the Raiders. Both teams, they completely blew out, and the Packers were so good going into that year. You're like, how can they not be good? And so I just feel like I want to see them a few more weeks, see them against the Saints again, see them against the Panthers again, see them against the Rams. Those are all teams they're going to get before they face Kansas City, before I feel like I'm going to choose them to beat there. So for now, talk to me in 2021.
So you haven't gone 15-1. They're down to 15-1 because they made it through.
I was 13-3 before the season, and they made it through murderer's row of their schedule.
Their peak for me was going to be.
And they're better defensively than I thought they were going to be.
15-1. Look, we know how the NFL works typically, because I'm right. I agree with you. Like, if you look at the schedules, like, maybe the Bucs is the one that they slip up on. But at some point in the NFL, especially if anything, this is the year where I think it's really tough for me to say, well, the schedule looks like they're not going to lose another game. Because we still know there's a chance
to
schedule. Well, you still see the Bucs and the Saints, but I'm talking about here in 2020, where we don't know how the scheduling will shift around. I know the Chiefs already had their scheduling shift around and they were all right, but there's a scenario where that can impact things. There's of course COVID, where suddenly someone tests positive still the day of a game, now that they're testing on a day of a game, and that can totally shift.
But those
shift
apply
how,
to both sides, and I do
for
understand.
For sure.
I am basing my fact on, I just don't know. I feel like it's more likely they lose to the Dolphins, Chargers, or Panthers than they do the Bucs or the Saints. And the reason why is because I legitimately think Kansas City plays their best football against good teams.
I will say, when it comes to the Bucs are specifically set up to give the Chiefs the type of problems that we think they could struggle with, and the fact that they have one of the three best defensive lines in football, and they don't need to blitz to put pressure on you. And they're absolutely dominant against the run. They give up like 2 yards per carry on the season or something like that. And their secondary isn't the best secondary in the NFL, but their front's so good, it's made their secondary better.
Which seems like it describes a team here we're familiar with in Kansas City, doesn't it? Whose defensive line helps mask some of their secondary for the rest of it. And I get it. Those, like you mentioned, the Raiders team who beat them, the Chargers who nearly did, those, but it's, and you know, like we joke about like how the Ravens can't beat them. And part of the reason they can't beat them is they haven't done a good job getting pressure on the front four. And then they went and traded for another defensive lineman, which seemingly appeared to be yet another reaction to not being able to get past the Chiefs. If you look at the rest of their roster, I'm not saying they can't lose to the Bucs.
Of course.
I'm not insane, but I, you know, like when I look at what they do, I just, you know, like I think Kansas City plays great against good competition. And so I think that they'll be the best. The Buccaneers have one of the top rated defenses in the entire league. Top DVOA defense.
So I was looking
top 10 DVOA offense
at the schedule from another angle as well. And if you take a look at what the look ahead lines would be, so we're talking about where Vegas has, we know the Chiefs are now 19.5-point favorites against the Jets this week. The rest of the way, look ahead lines. So certainly these can change, but the two lowest spreads, you're not going to be surprised to see this. It's at Tampa and at New Orleans. The Chiefs look ahead are 3-point favorites against Tampa, 3-point favorites against New Orleans. That's week 12 and then week 15 respectively. After that, it's the Raiders game week 11 at Vegas, but the Chiefs are coming off a bye, but the Chiefs are 7.5-point favorites on that. Other than that, they're double-digit favorites the rest of the way. There's only three games left on the schedule as of right now where the Chiefs aren't double-digit favorites, and it's the Raiders.
Only because the Raiders played them well the last
time. The Dolphins are anywhere at a 10 or a 9.5 late in week 14, and that's going to be a big unknown because we don't know what Tua's
going to
look like.
The Raiders were a 9 or 10-point dog the last time they faced Kansas City.
Right.
The only reason they're getting the couple-point swing is because they lost to Kansas City the last time.
And it's at home.
And I'm not saying the Saints are a bad team. They just beat the Panthers, who I told you were fine. They beat the Chargers, who were playing significantly better. You know, but it's not, I don't know, they just don't strike fear. And they beat the Bucs team that we're just talking about they could beat. But that, I don't know. I watched that Saints team, and I've like kind of leaned towards what you say, sir. It's like, it's not that they're a bad team. It's just they feel so unthreatening.
Yeah, and their secondary has been absolutely awful this season. Drew Brees still hasn't been playing well. Alvin Kamara is just incredible. And when they get Michael Thomas back, that offense could look different. Like, they've had some injuries.
Will they ever get him back? Because they seemingly just bounce between injury and suspension with him.
Yeah, he'll be back eventually, I would assume. The Panthers are interesting because I think the Panthers are better than everyone else thinks they are. Like, I feel like they get overlooked as like, oh, they're a bad football team. Their offense is better than you think it is, and their defense is better than you think it is. Like, they're not an overly talented football team. They're not a playoff team or anything like that, but they're a better football team than I think a lot of people realize, and I think they could give the Chiefs some problems. But
what do you think their final record is? Just out of curiosity. We're almost halfway through.
The Chiefs?
You had predicted 13-3, yeah. I think, before the season.
14-2.
Have you changed your opinion on that at all?
I think I have them at like 15-1 earlier in the year. I think they're probably 14-2. I think they'll drop another game where they like against the Raiders, where it's just a bad day for them. Cause I think it appears to me anyways that this team is kind of prone to that occasionally.
It is. And again, that's why I like, for whatever reason, even though I should fear the bigger teams left on their schedule, both the Bucs and the Saints, I fear more the game against the Panthers or the Dolphins or the Falcons, who are not a good team, but does score and does seemingly get up on good teams occasionally, right? Like they did, like they were up on Seattle for a little bit. They were up on the Bears for a while.
Yeah, it depends if you buy into whether or not the Raiders game was a wake up call or not to that. Hey, that everybody is not only going to give us their best shot, but that you doesn't matter who the opponent is, you can't play down.
If
you
buy it, last for like 9 games though. You know, like the wake up call is not like a 9 game solution.
Yeah, but if you're in the middle and you're battling for the number 1 seed, if it's week 14 of the season, and
are you going to sleep on the Falcons team?
You know, like for instance, yeah, they play the Falcons week 16. If the Chiefs know that game they're tied for the one and only bye you get in the AFC, I don't think there's your motivation right away. There's your motivation to get an extra week off, let everybody heal up. That's what you're fighting for. And you know, your road to getting back to the Super Bowl again and running it back, the motto all off season and all season, then that's what you need to do to give you the best chance to do it. So I think actually some of that playing up, playing down, at least personally, I believe that that'll change as the year goes on. I think as you get deeper in and as you really can sense the playoff intensity to get to that, I think that helps with some of those issues that can occur where this team, you know, they're not going to be looking at it the same way we are, as, oh man, this is the Jets, this is the Panthers, these are the Falcons, and like, oh, we can show up and just win. Like, we all know this week's game, they could have Chad Henne start and beat the Jets. We understand that. Like, Chad Henne could start this game for the Chiefs and they would beat the New York Jets. It's not, the Chiefs would probably, how big a favorites would the Chiefs be if Mahomes didn't play on Sunday?
7.
It probably would still be in the touchdown range based off the
7
fact that it's 19.
10, if
it might even be more. It might even be 10.
I think it'd be 3 with me at quarterback. So it's not, you know, I feel pretty strongly about their ability to beat the Jets. But if they play down, right, they only beat them by 10, then we got to recycle this play down to their competition conversation again. Let us know.
Are you on? Is that, hold on. 7, 6, 7. You say that. Are you really on Monday, if the Chiefs only beat the Jets by 10, you're going to say that the Chiefs are playing down to the Jets? Without even,
yes.
Okay. I certainly will not be doing that on Monday.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you only beat the Kansas Jayhawks football team by 10, you play down.
It depends how the game goes. Was it because that the offense sucked? Was it because there was some fluky plays?
10 is.
It's a national football. You
if
beat
they
anybody
return
by
a kick late. If it's 30-13 and they return a kick late,
you beat anybody by
we
double
can have
digits.
A different conversation. Okay, but no, they only beat in a normal game. If it's like 23-17 and then they score a touchdown and they get a field goal and it's like 30-20 to finish the score, yes, I will have some questions about them playing down. I'm not going to say it's a bad win because wins are wins.
Yeah, you beat someone by 10 points. I'm not going to be like, man, wow, they've really played down to their competition.
Let us know. 913-576-7610 over on the text line. We're curious.
You better be putting some money on the Chiefs then. Minus 19.5. You're expecting the win by
10. Win by 10, not like 14. 19.5 is a lot of points.
Is 12 good enough?
Are you trying to make me bet? Well,
I'm just saying, is 12 good? I can't believe that you're going to be upset if they only won by 10.
Yeah, that's not enough to beat the Jets by. Okay. I view this a little bit
like... This isn't college football. They're not trying to impress a committee.
I view it a little bit like that. Like where Kansas State needed to cover the spread against Kansas just to like be like, yes, you're awful and we're great. This is one of the few times where like in an NFL game, this is the conversation you can have. But they absolutely need to beat the Jets by two or three touchdowns to just be like, sorry, you suck so bad.
We already know they suck so bad.
We're just
going
to have to, well, prove it.
Okay.
Go ahead and prove it.
Coming up in 15 minutes or so, we'll talk about the likelihood of the NBA coming to Kansas City. Specifically, could the Raptors be headed to KC? That's 15 minutes away. Last night, you were watching a little Monday Night Football, perhaps, and saw the Rams take down the Chicago Bears 24-10. It was not the most appealing football game to the eyes by any means. The Bears fall to 5-2 on the season. The Rams, in a very, very tough NFC West, improved to 5-2. Almost like must-win games every week if you're an NFC West team to try to make sure you're not that team that somehow falls off the pace of everybody else. But the story really out of last night was the continued struggles of a Chicago Bears offense and former Chiefs, you know, obviously offensive coordinator and Matt Nagy, now the head coach in Chicago. And we know the quarterback situation there has been tricky to say the least. You have Trubisky. They went out and got Nick Foles in the offseason. Nick Foles came in, week three, they made the switch mid-game. I think it was week three, maybe week four, where they went away from Trubisky, brought in Nick Foles. And last night I saw... Booger McFarland was tweeting about it. He was talking about it with Adam Schefter at halftime as well in the issues of that Chicago offense and just in terms of the Andy Reid disciples here and how good they are going forward. And I think it brought up a few questions, fair or not. Some people were saying, well, this is a question that Eric Bieniemy's got to suddenly answer, which Eric Bieniemy's going to get a head coaching gig no matter what Nagy and Doug Peterson do the rest of the season. So nobody should be concerned about that. But people are concerned that Nagy and Doug Peterson. I'm about to call him Dougie P. I'm sorry.
Ah, because I did it that one time.
You say
that's
Dougie,
his name.
Dougie
I
P.
Did that like
Doug,
one
Dougie
time.
P.
I call him Dougie P. all the time.
And people are saying, well, they've kind of, as teams have figured them out a little bit, they've become stale offensively. What is that? How is EB going to adapt to that? That was the narrative around last night's game a little bit with Nagy and in the way the play calling has gone for them. I think it's really interesting, but I still pinpoint to you just don't have the quarterback. Foles clearly is not the guy. We know Trubisky's not the guy. And the Chicago Bears offense is going to be a situation where they are going to have to grind out most football games.
I kind of waver back and forth because I liked Nagy as a coaching prospect better than I liked even Doug Peterson when he took off in Kansas City. I just felt like he had more creativity overall in that scenario. But at the same time, it's like, man, I watched this Bears team and there's so many weeks where they just look woeful offensively. Doesn't matter the quarterback, and obviously Foles or Trubisky are not amazing options because they're not. And I don't want this to like reflect. There were people last night tweeting about how this could reflect poorly on Eric Bieniemy. I'm like, man, it's not Eric Bieniemy's fault. Do you do that? But a lot of the offensive creativity gets pinned on Andy Reid. And then when, you know, Nagy makes weird play calls, they're like, what are you doing? Why aren't you like Andy? I should remind people that, you know, we have over the years had several calls where you're like, Andy, what? What was that? What were you hoping to do there? Just go ahead and burn that play up. It didn't work, and let's move on. But when you're a team that's like hovering near the top of the conference, even though you shouldn't be, those little mistakes seem like a big deal. The thing is, the Bears were bad before he got there, and they're 25-14, and he didn't get to choose Trubisky, and Pace didn't really let him choose Foles. It's like, he's just been handcuffed with two below-average quarterbacks. And for him to actually get, for me to get a sense of how good he is or how good he can be as a head coach, I think he should have the ability to draft and develop his own quarterback. And he hasn't been given that yet, and I hope that, you know, there aren't whisperings yet that this would be the guy who'd be at risk of losing his job. And certainly with that roster, he shouldn't feel that way. But there is a little bit to Nagy and, you know, and putting those things together about, you know, why does his offense continue to struggle, and should he be in charge of play calling? something he wasn't ever really in charge of in Kansas City. And he, like, I hate to call, like, I'm not calling him a liar, but, like, you know, like, this, like, pretend play calling thing he essentially did with Peterson and Nagy was essentially like, well, he calls the plays as in, like, it was like he was trying to, like, get creative with the wording in the sense that, yeah, I call the plays, but Nagy physically says it to the quarterback or whatever he was trying to, like, get around to make it seem like that. He might have given up those things, but I still think Nagy is a good good coach. Matter of fact, if you made me choose, even though Doug Peterson has the Super Bowl, I still kind of feel like Nagy might be the better NFL coach than Peterson. And Peterson sometimes feels like he's saved by Carson Wentz.
That's awfully tough because look at what the Eagles are going through this year. It's tough, but they have so many injuries across the board. He's throwing random guys off the street. It's the chicken or the egg situation.
This is just probably speaks more about how highly I still think of Carson Wentz as a quarterback because seemingly he can get the ball to a bunch of nobodies and get the job done. And look, Peterson won a Super Bowl with Foles when his quarterback went down. So I can't ignore that part of it either. And, you know, obviously they were 3-0 with Trubisky, and now they have a couple of losses with Foles, so did they make the right decision? Or are they really just treading water between two quarterbacks? This was the problem with switching on a 3-0 team, is he hadn't done anything to lose the job yet because they had won, even though he hadn't played well, and now Foles hasn't played well, but they're losing, and so do you switch back to quarterback again? Like, this is what I don't like about what Nagy has done here. It's like, he has put himself in a really bad position at the quarterback spot. And then there's even like those quotes last night in the game where Brian Griese's making it seem like, you know, he had made, like, yeah, just they're not on the same page, and then that becomes a whole problem.
This is what had everybody talking last night during the game and toward the end of it when Brian Griese pointed out a conversation that he had with Nick Foles.
We were talking to Nick Foles yesterday, and he said, you know, sometimes play calls come in, and I know that I don't have time to execute that play call. And, you know, I'm the one out here getting hit. And sometimes the guy calling the plays, Matt Nagy, he doesn't know how much time there is back here. And so that's something that they have to get worked out.
That was one of everybody's ears perked up. Like, wait, he actually said that? Now, he was telling, you know, that was him telling a conversation that he had with Nick Foles. That wasn't, you know, Nick Foles directly saying that. So we have to just assume that that information is being relayed correctly. But that was a unbelievable thing to actually say during the broadcast. Somebody's being very honest and maybe even a little too honest about, you know, how much information is shared during some of the broadcasts as well.
Look, even if you take this as what, like, Nick Foles said after the game, which was, this is a misunderstanding, and essentially I'm saying, like, as the game goes on, our relationship is good enough that I'm starting to tell him times when we don't have times for things he think we might have time for, right? It's like Mahomes walking up to Eric Bieniemy and saying, do we have time to run WASP, right? That's a similar construct. Like, Mahomes is saying, but the difference is Mahomes is asking him if they have time, and Mahomes does have a sense of that. The concern in that quote to me is not even, like, obviously, the phrasing and all that makes it sound so bad. Their explanation of it, Foles' explanation of it, is actually pretty decent. But I got to be honest, there would be some concern for me that Matt Nagy doesn't have a feel for play calling enough that he doesn't realize his quarterback keeps getting killed. So, like, really, that's a play calling issue. And if all he needs to do is hand over play calling, which, by the way, would not be the first time an NFL head coach had to do that, because it is just kind of like, to me, it's like a curveball. It's like a feel pitch. Like, some people are just better at calling plays versus designing plays versus those things. I don't think of this as like a negative. Like, you're not a good head coach if you don't call your own plays. I just think that he might have to look at those things. But I don't want, you know, like, it is interesting on the Bieniemy front because people will immediately start saying this.
I saw it last night.
Because Andy calls the plays now. When Eric Bieniemy comes out, it's like, what do you do different when teams figure you out offensively? What can you adjust mid-game to make yourself functional offensively, even in a game in which they have figured you out? Andy Reid is tremendous at that. Now, he also has Patrick Mahomes, but he always found a way to get some points with Alex Smith, too. It wasn't always pretty, but he would at least constantly be trying. Last night, it didn't seem like the Bears were trying to get out of their funk. They were just trying to do what they do. So, like, it stinks that is somehow a reflection on Bieniemy, but they are.
Yeah.
Doug Peterson, Matt Nagy, and Eric Bieniemy have been in identical situations coming out of Kansas City as far as, like, their responsibility list. So that does bring that question
into play. You get the credit for being associated with Andy Reid, but then now people are starting to look at the overall effectiveness, really, of Nagy and Doug Peterson and some of the decision-making that takes place. I really think it comes down in Chicago, at least, just to the quarterback more than anything else whatsoever, just the lack of a franchise quarterback that exists there with Nick Foles and Mitchell Trubisky. Coming up next here on Cody and Gold, let's bring him to KC.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
All right, just getting started here on Cody and Gold. 30 minutes from now, it's the Four, and we'll welcome in CDOT. Carrington Harrison, of course, from The Drive, going to join us in studio. Also, about 25 minutes away, you want to be listening for that Kansas Lottery Sounder. Another chance to qualify for the Kansas Lottery Sports Bonanza Giveaway, part of the Rivalry Riches Instant Ticket Prize Pack. And also qualifying for rounds of golf, gaming at main event, and a signed Bill Self basketball. So there was a story in Louisville about 3 or 4 days ago. And then over the weekend, there was a little bit of traction on it. And then number 15, Patrick Mahomes tweets about it in relation to Kansas City. And suddenly it spreads like wildfire. And of course, I'm referring to the Raptors coming to KC, perhaps. It's an opportunity here, Cody, for Kansas City to get an NBA team at least for 30-something games or so next year, because the Toronto Raptors, we all know, play in Canada. Their country currently has a travel ban. It has to do with COVID-19 on the U.S. border, making it difficult, clearly, to have teams play up at Scotiabank Arena in 2021. The NBA also just announced that it looks like they're leaning to starting before MLK Day, and so in December, so that makes things a little more challenging. So there's an opportunity. The Raptors got to play somewhere in the U.S. is the way it seems like it's going to happen, and there's a lot of momentum for Louisville to be the place. But now you got Patrick Mahomes tweeting yesterday, bring them to KC. You got Mayor Quinton Lucas seems to be behind this effort as well. We got to make this happen. Let's get the Raptors, even if it's for a half a season. Whatever the NBA season is going to look like, this is a chance for Kansas City to showcase itself. Fan or no fan, which it looks like it would be no fans, Cody, it's still an opportunity to show what their interest would be in KC. Not to get the Raptors long term, but to get the next opportunity when expansion comes. Because that's what it's about. It's not like, oh, we're going to take this team from Toronto. This isn't Oklahoma City and everything that was going on there, where they ended up getting a team because of the hurricane and Katrina impact in New Orleans. This is just a chance to showcase Kansas City why, hey, I don't know, 3 years from now, 4 years from now, if there's ever an opportunity for the NBA to expand, that Kansas City is a place that can support it.
I don't care the problems that may exist in this. Like, they might want to be in a different time zone, or other cities are seen as the favorite. Do it! Give me NBA in Kansas City. Bring it to me! Patrick Mahomes got Whataburger here. What's the difference? He's clearly capable of bringing whatever it is. Maybe he just needs to buy a minority stake in the Toronto Raptors as well. Him and Drake can kick it on the sidelines of games in the offseason, typically, and just make this happen for all of us. Yes, I know that the NBA probably won't have fans there. I don't care about that problem either. I just want NBA basketball in Kansas City. Is that so much to ask? It's just this one tiny thing I want, and I think we should go as far as we need to go in order to accomplish this. If we need to adopt, I know it's not Montreal, but if we need to adopt French as a second language in Kansas City, fine. I'll learn French again. I did skip that and mostly took Spanish instead. But if I got to, go back to seventh grade where we had to learn a little bit of all three of the languages, including German, which seems like one we were less likely to use in general, I'll learn some French. And, whatever you need. Do we need to, start some poutine restaurants in Kansas City? Also fine. Whatever it takes here.
I think you just open a couple of Tim Hortons.
Yeah, a couple of Tim Hortons. Great. I'll go there every day. Whatever it takes to make Canada feel at home in Kansas City, I'm here for, because I desperately now want this to happen. And while it does definitely sound like it's an extreme long shot, what the hell? We're going to let Louisville steal our thunder? Louisville? Never. We're twice the city Louisville is. The hell with their stupid Yum Center that Patino built with all his sexual assault. I want real things.
He didn't build it for Kansas City. He didn't build it with sexual assault.
Like what?
Well, he just was doing that while succeeding. You get the point. None of this. Screw Louisville. Screw that dumb city. I like their bourbon, I guess.
I've never had poutine before.
I have not either.
What's not to like about, French fries smothered in gravy?
And cheese curds, apparently.
And cheese curds. Yeah. What? Are you have a problem with any of this?
No, I mean, I'd eat it. Is that just the dish by itself? I would like that as a side, not as just my
full meal. I think it can kind of be in between. I think it could be like a side dish.
So apparently the time zone deal is a big problem, I guess.
Why?
Which to me, this is an easy solution.
Let's just stay in the Eastern time zone.
So the report is, and I know Fesco was talking about this morning, what he's hearing, and that sounds like it's 36 games or so that would be in play at T-Mobile Center, because it's not Sprint Center now. We obviously know it's T-Mobile Center here in Kansas City. And the Eastern time zone is an area the NBA and the Raptors would like to stay in. And we know, obviously, we're in the Central time zone. Louisville, however, is in the Eastern time zone. We spring forward all the time anyway. We spring forward. What's another hour?
We're supposed to do this weekend. Let's just skip it.
What's another hour? After 2 days, even if you spring forward 2 hours, right? After 2 days or so, your body's going to adjust. If that's really the biggest obstacle, then let's just change the time zone for once. Just for about 6 months or so, let's flip the time zone forward a couple hours. Right now, it'd already be in the noon hour. So be it.
Great. I don't even care if Kansas comes along. Look, Kansas,
have Kansas City.
It'd be nice if you did it with us, okay? And we were in this together because Kansas City operates on both sides of the state line, but we got to leave you behind for the Raptors. This is what has to happen. And I'll be hosting the show. You'll be like, Cody and Cole, every day, 9 or 10, depending on where you're at, till 1 or 2. Don't care. Whichever time it is. We got to solve this problem. We can't be letting Louisville steal the thunder here. This is no good. We want the Raptors here. They won a championship not that long ago.
I do feel like all of a sudden, between Patrick Mahomes getting behind this movement, the enticement in terms of the food, they may have the bourbon in Louisville. We got the barbecue, though. So I feel like that's part of the pitch here. This would be an incredible opportunity. Like, it isn't the same as this isn't the organization you're trying to entice for the long haul. This isn't, hey, we're trying to show the Oklahoma City Thunder at the time, obviously you had the movement with New Orleans, and this isn't the Charlotte Hornets where you're like trying to show the NBA that this is the team we want, essentially. The difference here, as you said, there's not going to be any fans, even if this happened, but it's a chance to show from a TV rating standpoint that people are into it. And so you can show from a Kansas City market, a Midwest market, that there's interest. That's how you'll be able to judge it. So if Kansas City was fortunate enough to get awarded Toronto for a season, essentially, the Raptors, it would all be tied into the TV range. You wouldn't be able to judge it off of, wow, they packed Sprint Center, now T-Mobile Center, with 18,000 people, and it was a great crowd, and they were selling it out, which is what happened down in Oklahoma City, and it stunned everybody. People were like, this will never work in Oklahoma City, and it's been a very successful franchise. They also hit the jackpot by getting, Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook and James Harden.
Well, they got to have fans in the stands and prove.
Have to have an ownership group. So, bigger picture, that's still we can joke about the time zone all we want. The biggest problem, not for this initial scenario, but
Did you know who John Sherman was before he had $1 billion to buy the Royals? No, I didn't either. There are billionaires that will buy an NBA franchise and put it in Kansas City.
And that's in Kansas City, though, Cody. Yes, there are billionaires, but to Kansas City? Because with all the respect, we know Seattle and Las Vegas are very attractive to plenty of people as well.
Look, I'll play all the Drake on this show we need to. We can watch Degrassi. That's the only Canadian TV show I'm familiar with. They got all kinds of food delicacies. Put maple syrup on all of our food. Whatever it takes. Canada. You're right. I understand that this isn't the direct correlation to get an NBA
team. But it is for the future, perhaps.
That Oklahoma City had because they got to, really put on a full showcase. But Kansas City, if they made a top five list right now of possible NBA franchise sites, Kansas City is on that list.
Yeah, and they're in the top five. They're not one or two.
They're not one. That's Seattle. Fairly obviously Seattle. And they may be behind a couple of other cities too, but they are at least in the top five. I think they're arguably in the top three. And I still think that if sports leagues want to find a way to recoup some of the finances that they lost during this time, doing an expansion is the easiest way to get money into owners' pockets. Why not do this? The easiest way to get Kansas City set up as an NBA franchise city, get a team here for at least part of the season. Just get people here talking about Kansas City and NBA. Those two things together.
Well, that's why this is a great opportunity, because that's what it does. It, even without fans, it would allow you to show through television ratings and through buzz around the city what that could do.
You think
and
Kansas
what
City
it could
would
like.
Watch Raptors games? I think they would.
Yeah, yes. Now the Raptors
if we're playing in Kansas City, we'd all watch Raptors games.
I would kill to go to Raptors games.
But you would say to go to them, and I'm with you. But the problem is, with the reason why the Raptors can't even play in Toronto right now is with COVID. And so if you're not going to have any fans, it's going to make it a little bit tougher to have the overall interest to show it. And the Raptors, Fred Van Vliet, there's a chance he's not even on the roster now.
At Wichita State, can we get him up here?
He's a free agent right now, and he might be getting some big money somewhere else. So that roster is completely different than, this isn't the same NBA champion Raptors, but I don't care. It doesn't matter. We just want an NBA team. It doesn't matter how crappy they are or not.
But they weren't crappy last year.
Yeah, but they're about to lose. They're still at Pascal Siakam, but I believe Ibaka is going to be gone. I believe Fred Van Vliet's going to be gone. They have Kyle Lowry and Pascal Siakam, I believe. That's about it.
Good enough. Good enough.
Yeah, that doesn't matter because it could be Charlotte for all I care. It doesn't matter what the team, the roster, it doesn't matter.
Charlotte ever do.
It's more about
Kyle Lowry's a fun player, by the way.
Yes.
So no, of course
Siakam's good.
Siakam is good.
He is. He is absolutely. No, it would be incredible, guys. It would be absolutely incredible if it could happen. It probably is deep down a long shot, but whatever we can do to help. We're going to have Jared Sutton join us in the 1 o'clock hour today. Of course, he's a Pelicans regional scout.
Let's start with getting to Tim Hortons. I like that idea.
Tim Hortons seems doable.
Just knock
that
out.
Can we just replace
first.
Most of the Burger Kings around town with Tim Hortons? They're owned by the same company. So let's just, for the 6 month period.
Not really the same food type.
It's owned by the same company, though. That's why you can make it happen.
Smart.
So you
quickly, I don't know what Tim Hortons is.
We just temporarily turn one Burger Canadian. King in the city. It's a Canadian donut chain. It's like a really famous Canadian donut chain.
So yeah, they're owned by the same company. You flip some of the BKs for the 6 month stretch. You flip the BKs to Tim Hortons, and that's a quick fix. You can get some poutine there as well. Be good.
So it's just Dunkin' Donuts.
How
it's the Canadian.
They would be offended by that comparison.
Isn't that different from Dunkin' Donuts?
So we're not trying to offend them. Okay, we're trying to bring the Canadians here. Don't insult them by calling their prized possession Tim Hortons just Dunkin' Donuts.
Everything's possible now. You have Patrick.
Like, I'm not saying I won't eat some Dunkin' Donuts. Don't get me wrong.
You have Patrick Mahomes behind it now, so anything's possible. For anybody that truly doubted, now that Patrick Mahomes is on board.
They do their bagels different. They like...
Really?
They're like blanched in water. Yes, Montreal-style bagels is different.
Blanched in water?
Yeah, it's different. Huh. You know, there's lots of different ways to make bagels. They've got a lot of different delicacies we can help bring down here, whatever gets this thing done. Whatever gets it done. Matter of fact, maybe I'll bake something Canadian this weekend to try to. Remember, you want me to bring more food in?
Well, not the. What if I bake something Canadian? Not that. Whatever that
Let's
bread thing was yesterday.
Let's not get into that. I will bake us something Canadian. Whatever it takes. Just whatever it takes.
What? I mean, what are you gonna make?
I don't know yet. I have to look up. Canadian? I don't know that many Canadian delicacies.
Are Canadians known for their baked goods?
It's cold weather up there. I feel like they must bake.
Butter tart? Can you make a butter tart?
Sure. I can make a tart.
Okay. Eh.
Not interested in the tart? Again, we're not trying to make them think we don't like their things, Serta. The whole point of this is to, you know, woo them to come to
Kansas.
These
do actually look pretty good.
The butter tarts?
Yeah.
See? We're fine.
So we'll
There's also Saskatoon berry pie. Do you think you want to... Are you
Saskatoon?
Interested in some Saskatoon berry pie?
I mean, I'll try anything. I don't care.
Again, as long as it looks appetizing, that's all I ask. It has to look appetizing. And yesterday, that item didn't. So
I'm not kidding you.
If these look appetizing, then I'll try it. Whatever you want to make. If you want to help the bid to get the Raptors to KC, we'll talk more about this in the noon hour and also in the 1 o'clock hour with Jared Sutton. As I mentioned, he's a scout for the Pelicans, and he's been kind of all over this and really the last couple of years just about expansion in Kansas City.
We got Patrick Mahomes. We got the mayor.
I mean, good spot.
We're behind us. We're behind this movement.
We've at least, I feel like, gotten the attention of the Raptors.
Yes.
Patrick Mahomes tweeting about it, that instantly gets people's attention.
We'll make the Chiefs mascot for the rest of the year a dinosaur. Sorry, Casey Wolf. You're a dinosaur now. You're Casey Dinosaur. You're Casey Raptor moving forward. Put some spikes on the back of that thing, whatever you got to do. That guy who's been doing it for forever, it's fine. We're just making some adjustments here. Whatever we got
to
do.
Let's get to our top five, bottom five in the NFL. So we start in the bottom five as always. We do it each and every Tuesday. Now heading into week 8 of the NFL season. And the bottom three or so, probably all very, very similar. We don't have to spend too much time there. Jets, Giants, and Jags are my bottom three in the full bottom five. Number 29, Washington. I understand they got a win over Dallas. And you say, well, how can you have Dallas in the bottom five? They still have too much talent. They are now going to possibly have DiNucci, a third-string quarterback, going. That defense is horrendous. I have the Cowboys in my bottom five for the first time this season.
Wow.
One of the five worst teams in football.
Wow.
Yeah, they're one of the five worst teams in football.
They still have more talent than that,
yeah,
but they are playing
point,
like one of the five worst teams.
At some point, you've got to show it at some point. This is not week one or two. This is week 8 now of the NFL season. They are what they are.
Jets, Giants, Jags, Washington, and the Bengals, unfortunately, round out my bottom five. Although maybe I should flip the Bengals for the Cowboys, because at least the Bengals are showing life.
Which team do you feel better about the rest of the season? You feel way better about Cincy the rest of the way than Dallas.
I just want them to, like, win a game. Earn their way out of the bottom five. That's the way I see it.
For Cincy?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't even have them in the bottom five.
Like, win one of these games, and then we can have a conversation.
Should have beat the... Browns.
But the Cowboys are miserably bad, so I can't even argue with you there.
Serta, are you in agreement there on the bottom five? What do you have?
I am going to change mine from what I put down, but it's the Jets, 32, Giants, Jacksonville. And I had Cincinnati, but you're right. I'm going to put the Cowboys there and put Cincinnati at 28 instead. Cincinnati's at least fun to watch. They have talented young players like T. Higgins and Joe Burrow. The Cowboys are falling apart. They can't stop anybody. Kyle Allen torched them. The Cowboys probably need to be 31, to be honest. There's nothing going right for them as a football team.
I can't put them at 31, but they are trending towards moving further and further back in the bottom five. Cowboys get the Eagles on Sunday Night Football.
Will anyone not be the Jets at 32 the rest of this year?
No. No, okay. The Jets will be
firmly 32.
The Jets will be 32 the entire season.
Yeah.
Even if they win a game, it doesn't matter. I mean, they will be 32 the rest of the way.
They can beat the Chiefs this week. It's still going to be 32. If
they beat the Chiefs, they will be out of my bottom five.
They'll still be in the bottom five because they're horrible.
They're not. Don't worry about that. They're 19.5 point underdogs. No doubt about that. So let's move over to the top five.
Start at
number five. This is where it gets a little interesting. A lot of reshuffling, perhaps, based on some of the results from the week and just one remaining unbeaten team. I have the Packers at number five on my list here. They came off the bye, got a solid win. Looked dominant against a terrible Houston Texans team. They did it without Aaron Jones. Jamal Williams came in and looked really good in that matchup. Aaron Rodgers, the Packers got back on track, as I'm sure most people thought they would after getting embarrassed by the Bucs the week prior or before the bye week and everything like that. I have the Bucs at number four. One spot. They're in the top five for the first time this season. I can't leave the Bucs out of the top five, not because they beat the Raiders, but the entire encompassing work that they put together. And defensively, they've been good all year, but now the offense is clicking a lot sooner than I thought. I thought it would take 10 or 11 weeks to get into the season before the Bucs would get there. I have the Bucs at four and the Steelers at number three. We'll get to 2-1 in a second, but 5-4-3, Packers, Bucs, Steelers for me. Pittsburgh, they're undefeated, man.
Bucs have officially cracked my top five at number five. Been a doubter of the Bucs, but I can't ignore their big win against the Packers, and then obviously they easily handled the Raiders. So the Packers are at six for me. Not even in the top five anymore.
They're just barely
out. Well, they lost to the Bucs, so they got replaced. But I know the Seahawks lost
Seattle
this weekend.
Still in there?
I do. The reason why Seattle plays in the best division in football.
That team's
going to have four playoff teams. Like, that division is impossible. It's just every week you take on a different challenge. This time they lost the challenge to the Cardinals. I still think they're a top five team because I still think Russell Wilson is playing MVP caliber
Seahawks
football. So
defense.
I understand, but the reason why I still have Seattle in there is that I think I'm the only person who still has Seattle in the top five. But the reason is because just losing to the Cardinals isn't enough to have me waver too much on them, and I had them in the top five last week. The Ravens at number three, they have been the sleepiest team in this. Nobody even talks about the Ravens anymore since they lost to the Chiefs. They essentially are just like whisper quiet because people have been talking about the Packers or Seattle. And a lot of or the Steelers have been playing.
Might have been because they were on bye too.
Fine, but just in general, the Ravens have been quietly still 5-1. Their only loss to the number one team in the Chiefs. So I still have the Ravens at number three. I'll give you my top two in a minute. We can hear Serta's at least 5-3.
Number five, I picked the Steelers. I still don't have a lot of faith in Ben.
Hmm.
Their defense is great, but they have some issues on that team. Number four, Tampa. Arguably the most complete team in the NFL right now, but they did just lose Chris Godwin possibly for a couple of weeks with a broken finger. But they're adding Antonio Brown, so it's fine. And number three, I've got the Packers.
Okay, so we have the same group of teams except for the Seahawks there. I am surprised Serta has the Steelers at five, so that means my top two. I was surprised, Cody, you only have the Ravens at three, and you have the Steelers. That means probably in front of them. I have the Ravens at two and the Chiefs at one. So the Ravens, Chiefs and Ravens have been 1-2 for most of the season, and we get the showdown between the Ravens and Steelers this week. Cannot wait for that. So I have the Steelers one spot behind Baltimore right now. I still think the Ravens are a better football team than Pittsburgh. I expect Baltimore to beat Pittsburgh this weekend, and so I have the Ravens one spot ahead of them. Obviously, if the Steelers were to go to and beat Baltimore this weekend, I'd have to flip-flop those two teams. But right now, Chiefs 1, Ravens 2, Steelers 3, Bucks 4, Packers 5.
I think it's a coin flip game. Bucks, Seahawks, Ravens. That's why I have the Steelers at 2 for now. Those two can obviously interchange spots depending on what happens this weekend, with the Chiefs still being the number one team in the land. But the Steelers was a team that wasn't even in my top five 3 weeks ago. They worked their way to four. Now they're up to two. I didn't have faith because they barely beat the Giants, barely beat the Broncos, barely beat the Texans. You know, like, they played close with bad teams seemingly, but their last 2 weeks have been their biggest challenge weeks. A decent Browns team, good Titans team. They dispatched both of them before taking on the Ravens in the upcoming schedule. If you're looking at a team that looks like schedule-wise has a chance to go 14-2, they're almost a lock for 14-2 if they beat the Ravens this week. Because their schedule is so soft going forward, it's not that. The Chiefs are still the best team. The Ravens are still right near the top. I've just, you know, Steelers have done enough to deserve their climb up that rankings list.
I've got the Ravens at number 2, like I did last week. I'm not going to move them down just because they were on bye. And I've got the Chiefs at number 1. I still think they're the best team in football. I still think we haven't seen their best performance of the season, and we haven't seen what they're fully capable of. But when you're that good, you can win in every different way, and they just keep doing it.
Yeah, there's no team in football right now has found different ways to win like the Chiefs. Yeah, they may not be undefeated like Pittsburgh, but the Chiefs have found seemingly every possible way to win, and I'm sure they'll continue to surprise us here over the next couple weeks, different ways to win football games, which should be an advantage going forward. That's our top five, bottom five. We do it each and every Tuesday here on Cody and Gold. A reminder, coming up in 10 minutes, we've got the Forum. Carrington Harrison going to be in studio with us. Let's get to a quick trash of the day.
Trash of the day.
All right, we go down to Dallas briefly here. The Cowboys are all kinds of a mess. I have my bottom five for a reason, and their defensive coordinator, Mike Nolan's taking a lot of heat. And, well, things just really not going good for him even off the field. Listen to this on a press conference yesterday and what had to happen and why he had to stop midway through.
He's been active every week. You know, as far as, I think, disrupting the quarterback, he's you know, escaped several times to do that. Obviously, the frustration for him as well is just, you know, look, when he misses them, nobody, whoops, excuse me, I got something in my eye. Just had some Tabasco on my finger and went in my eye. That wasn't good. Oh, it's terrible. Jeez, I'm sorry.
Hang on, guys, be right back.
Give me 1 second.
All right, we're back. Jory, I guess...
Forgive me, I'm sorry, and I don't remember the question if you give it to me again.
So, Mike Nolan apparently had some Tabasco on whatever he was eating for lunch or whatever, and he accidentally rubbed his eye if you watch the video, and I'm sure
it was
just
burning.
If you've
ever cut a pepper and then accidentally touched your eye, death.
I think she's not going good. And then shortly after that cut you heard there from Mike Nolan, he was talking about how they gave up a 52-yard touchdown that Trayvon Diggs was burned on. He said, quote, his eyes got him in trouble. If you don't have good eyes, you can get in trouble in this game real quick, no matter what position you play. You really can't make any of this stuff up. Things just not good at all down
in
Dallas.
Things are going bad. Oh. It's like the comedy bad. The Royals used to be like comedy bad back in the early 2000s where you're like, how are these things happening? Like, the Cowboys are so bad that Mike Nolan's interrupting press conferences with Tabasco in his eye.
I mean, was he just eating a sandwich? Like, what?
Right,
what's
before,
going?
Probably.
What's going on?
I don't like Tabasco.
That's
sauce.
On Mike Nolan. All right.
Are you a Tabasco guy?
He I like hot sauce.
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't know. You're Tabasco
it on stuff
or
occasionally.
Cholula? What do you like?
I like lots of different hot sauces.
Yeah, I'm not picky. If it's spicy,
I don't
like
Tabasco or any of that stuff. Yeah,
shocker.
I don't feel bad for Mike Nolan, though. He did that to himself.
Shocker.
He knew he was about to sit down with the media. What are you doing? Crushing a sandwich right before you walk in? That's on you, dude.
He's got a busy schedule.
That's why your defense is so bad. That type of preparation. That type of planning ahead.
Like, be careful with that. Careful, Mike Nolan.
Watch out if you're having Tabasco with your food today. Just don't rub the eyes. You'll be all right. You don't want to pull a Mike Nolan, that's for sure. That's our trash of the day. Coming up next, be listening for that Kansas Lottery Sounder chance to qualify for the Sports Bonanza giveaway. And we move into the 11 o'clock hour. It's the Forum. Carrington Harrison joins us in studio.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle. vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!